Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Hello, good friends. So good to have you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for your support. Just like and subscribe, two little things that don't take very long and very important to the algorithms to propagate this resource for our practice, yeah? So thank you, all of those new and old. Starting chapter 10 in the BDK translation of the Tripitaka, of the Lotus Sutra of the Tripitaka. This chapter, like the others, goes by several names. I kind of like this one, though, the expounder of the Dharma. Some use more westernized words like the preacher, but the expounder of the Dharma, I think that suits the rhetoric of Shakyamuni better. So let's get right into it, shall we? Thereupon, the Bhagavat, by addressing Bodhisattva Bhaskaraja, otherwise known, and I'm glad they put this in parentheses, the Medicine King, and the Medicine King you'll recognize as discussed. Well, some may even call this the Medicine King chapter, yeah? But there's all kinds of, if you look at an old video that I put up, it's a few years old, on Buddhism, what did I call it? I know it in the title was Burning Monks. I have a real issue with, but it's a demonstration, that video, that discussion, and something we've all, I'm sure, heard of in the news for various reasons. Generally, Theravada, or early Buddhist practitioners, why they still exist today, same question as why does Christianity or Islam or any of that exist today? but in Buddhism, how many times am I going to say there's been, you can tell these aren't scripted videos, right? I'm just off the cuff. These traditions that have taken place over the millennia with regard to Buddhism, it's just mind-boggling. They're just not the teachings of Shakyamuni. They're just not. But that doesn't make this chapter any less valuable, right? It's about teaching the will, the volition, the desire, the determination to include this sector of our practice as fulfilling the completeness of Bodhisattva practice, right? So anyway, I haven't even finished the first sentence. Through him addressed 80,000 Mahasattvas, saying, O Medicine King, in this assembly, do you see innumerable humans and non-humans, such as devas, nagas, kings, yakshas, gandharvas, asuras, garudas, kimnaras, mahoragas, monks, nuns, laymen, laywomen, those seeking the Shravaka vehicle, the Pratyaka vehicle, and the Buddha path, right? The three. If in the presence of the Buddha, any beings such as these hear a single verse or line of the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Renge Kyo, and thereupon have even one thought of rejoicing in it, really appreciating and seeing the a priori value of it, right? Sensing it. I will bestow upon them my prediction that they will attain highest complete enlightenment. You see this word of prediction again. He's not bestowing enlightenment on anyone. He's saying, if you so much as chant once, or any part of the Lotus Sutra sparks your determination, your imagination to grasp onto the actual possibility of your establishing Buddha-ness in your mind. I promise, I'm telling you, I predict that it's an inevitability that you will someday attain that Buddhahood. So you can get a lot from that simple paragraph here, right? Highest complete enlightenment. But it only takes one dedicated moment to plant the seed. This is why this is the first thing we're told to do. Nichiren exhorts us to chant that the moment someone expresses curiosity in Buddhism, how do we practice it correctly? What is Lotus Sutra Buddhism? Chant with me. Chant with me so we can talk about it. Chant with me so we can open a channel of communication in our minds. So we don't stumble too much over terms and words, that we're trying to get to understanding and meaning, to peer into our minds to understand how Buddhism works. We just need to kick open that door a little bit, that Gohonzon mind, right? The Buddha addressed Jaraja, saying, if after the parinirvana of the Tathagata, any beings hear the extinction of Shakyamuni, in other words, any beings hear even a single verse or line of the Myoho Renge Kyo, the Lotus Sutra, and thereupon have even one thought of rejoicing in it, I will bestow upon them the prediction that they will attain highest complete enlightenment. Repeating himself, right? Wants to make sure you understand that this is the method to self-enlightenment, the Myoho Renge Kyo. If there is anyone who preserves, recites, explains, or copies even a single verse of the Lotus Sutra, or who respects this sutra as if it were a Buddha, or who reverently offers it various flowers, perfumes, necklaces, fragrant ointments, scented powders, burning incense, canapes, flags, banners, clothing or music, or who simply honors it with his palms pressed together, hands folded, know, O Medicine King, that this person has already paid homage to tens of myriads of codas of Buddhas in the past because of the incredible fortune of encountering this teaching. It means you've already awakened in you some Buddha aspects, right? Even though they may be sleepy and not acutely aware, your innate tendencies, like all of us, have risen your curiosity, have piqued your... This is what has influenced, right, your karmic engine to witness, to encounter this teaching, this ultimate teaching, right? Such people have completed their great vow in the presence of all the Buddhas, and yet they have been born as humans out of their compassion for sentient beings. So, you know, that great question, why am I here? One of the great questions. To be a bodhisattva. For the very reason that you seek enlightenment, you, not being a separate entity, are here to influence others toward that same realization. O Medicine King, if anyone should ask you what kind of sentient beings will become a Buddha in the future, you should inform them that it is those of this kind who will definitely become Buddhas in the future. Those who resolve to, as he's saying, And this speaks, by the way, this is Shakyamuni, don't forget. Not Nichiren. I'm not saying Nichiren is different. I'm saying Nichiren takes it to our modern setting, right? So when Nichiren creates this mandala, what is he doing? What is he enacting? Exactly as Shakyamuni told, right? Preserves, recites, explains, or copies even a single verse of the Lotus Sutra. Well, look at that mandala. It's every important concept, personage, and idea, teaching, core stuff of the Myoho Rengekyo, with the title right down the center. Nichiren was enacting, doing exactly as Shakyamuni was saying, we should. That is one of the reasons that I make this mandala freely, not freely, but easily available. Right? Because there should not be any distance between your practice and Buddhahood. It shouldn't require of you to measure up to anything in order to get this mandala. The Gohonzon's in you. It's in your mind. It's already there. This mandala is an expression of homage, really, to the very teachings of the Lotus Sutra. To Buddha itself. Why is this? If there are any sons or daughters of a virtuous family who preserve, recite, explain, and copy even a single line of the Lotus Sutra, or who pay homage to this sutra with various offerings, flowers, perfumes, necklaces, right? We put incense and water and plants on our altar. We're doing as Shakyamuni taught. Sorry, I got distracted. Scented powders, ointments, burning incense, canopies, flags, banners, clothing, music, or honor it with their palms pressed together. Such people should be respected by the entire world. This is why I tell you, savor your practice. It's immensely powerful. I know we tend to think selfishly, right? I'm trying to attain Buddhahood. I'm trying to practice correctly. But understand, every time you say I'm, you should include in your mind everything. Certainly, everyone. You are, in point of fact, chanting for the world, for every person, every sentient mind on earth. Not because you have some magical, you know, power of telepathy, but because your life condition, as you instantiate every little bit of Buddha mind influence on your samsaric life, you are radiating that energy. Call it a vibration, call it whatever, your aura. It is your Buddha-ness that is translating into other sentient beings. We're all made of energy. So all of us are like little puddles of energy moving around, scattered all over the planet. How can we help but recognize each other's energy? Energy doesn't have personality. Your karmic freight train does, and it's being influenced by your Buddha-ness, that common thread that weaves through every little, I don't know, maybe you think puddle is a bad analogy, a ball of energy, if you will. Find an image in your mind that works for you. They should be revered the same way as the Tathagata is revered. I tell you, I've done that experiment with myself, and it's no easy task to walk around and see regular, ordinary human beings being ordinary human beings, right? Those ignorant of Buddhism don't even know, and try to envision them, treat them, see them as Buddhas. All you got to do is drive a car on the roads or a vehicle on the roads and see how challenging that is. Right? Know that these people are great bodhisattvas who are to attain highest complete enlightenment. That's maybe a little bit easier. For me, it's a little bit easier to quickly, especially if somebody calls my attention to them for whatever reason, to immediately think to myself, they can do this. They may be able to do this faster and better than I am. Whew. Everyone has the potential to instantiate Buddha. Everyone. It tends to make your heart milder. But it requires awareness. It requires the much hackneyed term mindfulness. I don't like to use that term because it's been attached to so many weird things. But truly, to be mindful is to be aware of one's own Buddha potential and to bring it to the fore. And I'll tell you, the exercise of trying to see everyone around you as you navigate your day with that same potential, it's a real check on your practice. All right, let me go on here, like you're holding me back. Know that these people are great bodhisattvas who are to attain highest complete enlightenment. Out of their compassion for sentient beings, they wish to be born among them in order to expound and explain the Lotus Sutra far and wide. The Myoho Renge Kyo. How much more to be honored are those who completely preserve the entire sutra and pay homage to it with various offerings. In other words, those who actually practice. Not just those with the potential to do it, but those who actually act on it, right? Remember, everything's momentum. So if you're not acting on something, then what are you acting on? If you're not acting on your Buddhist potential, then what are you manifesting over and over and over and over, moment to moment to moment to moment? O Medicine King, you should know that after my parinirvana, my extinction, these people will set aside the rewards of their pure karma and be born in the troubled world out of their compassion for sentient beings. And in order to expound this far and wide, now, do you know what that means? Because that, if you're not keenly aware of Shakyamuni's teachings, you might be led to believe that that means that when you're not a human being, you're floating out there waiting for something to do. That's not what that means. That what it means is that Buddha-ness, the complete engagement and understanding of the cosmos and everything in it, is not a changing condition. The only thing changing in condition are human sentient minds. And so the very fact that we exist, that you and I are here on this planet that supports us being here until we exterminate it, I hope that doesn't happen, is here for our practice. Who am I? A bodhisattva. Why am I here? To be a bodhisattva. To feel the complete potential of life, the engine of life, in every moment, and to ensure that others who are here for the same purpose but don't know it, to let them know, clue them in. After my parinirvana, if there are any sons and daughters of virtuous families who expound even a single line of the Myoho Renge Kyo in private to even a single person, they should be acknowledged as the ambassadors of the Tathagata. Again, another way of saying bodhisattvas, yeah? They have been dispatched by the Tathagata and carry out the Tathagata's work. This isn't a military campaign. They've been dispatched by Buddha-ness. Buddha-ness itself is exhorting to you, pass this on. Expand the knowledge of this. Let all that you know and meet in daily life in samsara learn and know this for themselves. That's what that means. As for those who extensively teach among the common people, know that they are yet greater ambassadors. Wow. O Medicine King, if there are erring people during a kalpa, those with troubled thoughts who always disparage the Buddha in his presence, because Buddhaness is always present, their fault is nonetheless slight, because they just don't know any better. Yet, if there are those who disparage the laity, or ordinary people who recite the Lotus Sutra, those people are trying, but if you disparage them, oh yeah, he chants, but he doesn't know what he's doing, or he's talking a bunch of crap, or whatever. You have to be careful about that. Because in their own way, they're going through their own exercise of clearing their minds. They will get there. That's already been said in this chapter, yeah? With even an evil word, a single evil word, she's a dummy. Their fault is extremely grave. In other words, if somebody's making the effort, whether they understand the effort, right, or they try to tell other people about it, but they say a bunch of nonsense, our responsibility as co-Buddhists is to help them, correct them, right? It doesn't mean you can't be stern, but if you're spouting evil, in other words, disparaging, getting in the way of others discovering Buddhism, what you're doing, instead of saying anything about that person, first of all, just plain common sense, is you're explaining to someone or some ones how intolerant you are. See, what comes out of your mouth is about you, not who or what you think you're talking about. And anyone who's around Buddhism or trying to find out about it is going to interpret you and hear you that way. My contention is that's life. That's how samsara works. We think we're talking about so-and-so or this and that. What we're really displaying is our opinion, our way of thinking, the way we see others. And you're telling somebody who you should be inspiring toward Buddhiness that you're an intolerant person and that may backfire on them. They no longer want to be around you because they could be next in line for your vitriol. Yikes. But in the context of Buddhist practice, Shakyamuni is saying, you can disparage Buddhaness all day long. Again, it just makes you look like a fool. But if you disparage or put down someone who's practicing to discover their Buddhaness, that's a much, much deeper offense. Because Buddha is, you can insult Buddha all day long. Buddha's like, that's your nature. Doesn't affect, doesn't influence Buddha. But somebody who's struggling to find Buddhaness within themselves, and you step in and, right? You could turn them away, prevent them from their enlightenment. What the hell is that? See, that's a much greater offense, right? Again, it's okay to correct someone. It's okay to talk to somebody who knows that somebody and has misinformation and correct them. Better yet, if you're going to correct them, make sure you can get together with the source and correct everyone, have a debate about it, talk about it, resolve it, right? That's the way forward. Always, always, always our motivation must be the accomplishment of clarity, and correct practice. Right? I'm as guilty as the next in being quite expressive. I modeled myself after Nietzsche. He's been quite expressive. But it's also my character, and I have to watch it. Right? I'm not justifying everything I say. I say in my heart, my attitude, my intent is to be constructive, maybe a little strict. But that doesn't excuse my slips every now and again, right? I'm still a human after all, not making excuses, just saying. Perfection is not easily arrived at. And here's a caution about that very thing. Know that those who recite the Lotus Sutra adorn themselves with the adornments of a Buddha. This means that they will carry the Tathagata on their shoulders and pay him homage wherever they go. There's that influence thing again, right? Radiating that Tathagata-ness into our environment. They should be respected, revered, honored, and praised wholeheartedly with palms pressed together. Through offerings of flowers, perfumes, necklaces, scented powders, ointments, burning incense, canopies, flags, banners, clothing, delicious food, music, and best offerings that people could make. They should have heavenly jewels scattered upon them and offered to them. Why is this? Because these people joyfully expound the Dharma, and those who hear it, even for an instant, will fully attain highest complete enlightenment. The seed will be properly planted. Right? So another caution, you're always an influence. Not with your words alone, just your very presence is an influence. Got to keep that influence at its highest level, right? This is why we chant so much, to stay, keep that Buddha-ness engaged throughout the day. Thereupon, the Bhagavat, wanting to elaborate upon the meaning of this further, spoke in these verses. So here we go into the verses. Not quite 27 minutes. Yeah, there's lots more, so. Yeah, it's not that long of a chapter. So we'll read some of these verses, and then we'll pause for the next video, okay? Those who want to abide in the Buddha path and perfect the wisdom of the self-generated one, the self-manifesting. See, people have asked me, what do you mean by self-manifesting? We ourselves manifest our Buddha-ness, and Buddha-ness makes us one with the engine of life, with every phenomena. So the self-generated one, there's a hyphen here, self-generated, right? That generation is the instantiation of our Buddha mind. And perfect the wisdom of the self-generated one, not just the wisdom of every day of samsara, right? What we might call Buddha wisdom. Understand what that is. It's not Buddha smart. It's about the experience of Buddha-ness being awake and alive moment to moment through our Gohonzon mind into samsara. How do we act it out? How do we influence? Should always diligently pay homage to those who preserve the Myoho Rengekyo, the Lotus Sutra. Those who want to quickly attain omniscience should hold to this sutra and pay homage to those who preserve it. Know that anyone who preserves the Lotus Sutra is an ambassador of the Buddha who feels compassion for sentient beings. Those who preserve the Lotus Sutra were born here in this world, withholding themselves from the pure land, out of their compassion for sentient beings. In other words, we join the samsaric every day, the physical world, in order to experience the vicissitudes of life, the struggles of life, simply to add our ingredient of Buddha-ness into it, to manifest it, to spread it. Change the balance of energy toward the best possible potential instantiation experience of the engine of life. That's why we're here, to celebrate life. Anything that doesn't celebrate life is an obstacle. That's our struggles in samsara, because there are many, 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 many distractions that become obstacles, right? Our cravings, our clinging. That's plainly said, that's what Buddhism's all about. Liberating us from that distraction so that we can understand that every moment of life is precious. It sounds kind of pie in the sky, but truly, anyone who's chanted for a little while knows what I'm talking about. You may not know how to put it into words, but you felt it. That's living a different life, isn't it? Know that such people are born where and when they will. They are born in this troubled world to extensively expound the highest dharma, the highest experience. Such expounders of the dharma should be revered with offerings of divine flowers, perfumes, heavenly jeweled clothing. Please don't send me any jeweled clothing. Just... and exquisite celestial jewels. Wow. This is all about mind, right? Attitude and intent. Calm down. Those who preserve this sutra in the troubled world after my powder nirvana should be paid homage with palms pressed together, just as one pays homage to the Bhagavad. This is how we should treat one another, with this great appreciation and recognizing our Buddha nature. These heirs of the Buddha should be revered with delicious food, various delicacies, and a variety of clothing in the hope of hearing the teaching even for an instant. So if you have a meeting, if you get together with a friend or several friends and you invite a speaker, somebody who's your senior in practice, to come and chant with you and talk to you and your friends and explain things, answer questions you may have, you should show deep appreciation for that person. You're asking of that person a great deal. So yeah, make some offerings to them, something, whatever you can do. If it's in your means, you know, we always offer water. It's one of the first basic things. But it's a meeting of human beings, after all, right? And so as fellow bodhisattvas, we should treat each other with that kind of respect. Even if it's just a bowl of nuts. Or I have a friend, whenever he did any kind of encounter, he would have a big bowl, one of those huge bowls filled with cheese puffs, or cheese puff balls actually was his thing. Whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a display of respect and appreciation, right? We should appreciate each other's time, as so many of you do, patrons, and those of you purchasing books and so forth. You pay me great respect, and I'm so grateful for your efforts. Not just personally, like Nietzsche, and it's not about me. It's about the amazingness of this teaching. Right? If in the future there's anyone who preserves this sutra, I will dispatch him to the world of humans to carry out the Tathagata's task. If throughout one entire kalpa there is anyone with erring thoughts who always disparages the Buddha, with an angry countenance, the consequences of his grave error will be incalculable. So let's not make that mistake, right? If there is anyone who speaks a hostile word, even for an instant, about those who recite and preserve this Lotus Sutra, I'm going to kick his butt, right? Hostile. His fault will be even greater. If throughout one entire kalpa there are people seeking for the Buddha path, who praise the Buddha in my presence, which is always, with incalculable numbers of verses and with palms pressed together, the merits they attain will be immeasurable because of praising this Buddha. If there are people who praise those who preserve this sutra, their merit will be even greater. So, yeah, you can praise Shakyamuni, you can praise Nichiren, you can praise Buddha-ness, but that's the natural order. But by praising you, praising one another, man, her practice is strong. If you're seeking advice, maybe you should try to get some time with her or with him or with them. They seem to really understand this practice, right? That kind of will, Ichinen. Your merit for thinking that way, speaking that way, greater than having the same praise for Buddha, because Buddha don't need it. You understand? But you and I, samsaric beings, we need it just to feed our desire for Buddha-ness. Because we're made of desire. We are a desire experience. To lift ourselves out of simple desire is no small feat. It's the transcendent power of Bodhisattva mind, of Gohanzon mind, yeah? You must pay tribute to those who preserve the sutra throughout 80 kodas of kalpas with the best objects, sounds, fragrances, flavors, and materials. In other words, it takes time. You have to make effort, right? That effort always extends the experience of time. And who doesn't want to live longer? It may not calculate in numbers of years or moments, but the experience, right? What do we mean when he says, she lived a full life? Rather than a life cut short. See, we intrinsically know this weird sliding scale of time. But Buddhism is focused on it. That's part of what we mean when we say living a full potential of our lives. If you are able to hear the teaching for even a moment, after having paid tribute in this way, you will then become delighted, thinking, I have now attained great benefits, reward, right? O Baisajaraja, I now tell you that I have taught many sutras, and among these sutras, however, the Lotus Sutra is the utmost and best. Myoho Renge Kyo is the ultimate teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha. All right. That's long enough to listen to me. Big windbag. And then the Buddha spoke further to Bodhisattva Mahasattva Medicine King. Oops. And we'll continue there in the next video. I can't tell you, I can't express with words how amazed and truly, truly grateful for your participation, your practice, most of all. your dedication, your efforts, your support, even if it's just liking and subscribing. It's very, very meaningful. It's bodhisattva work. Those of you who are supporting the expense of keeping this going, right? Patrons, Patreon, PayPal, or buying books, so on and so forth. Namo Myoden Geikyo. You guys, your merits and rewards should be immeasurable. And to be a part of this Sangha is my raison d'être. It's my reason for being, yeah? So thank you. Thank you for keeping this resource going and growing. And I will therefore see you in the next video. Promise. All right. Thanks again. Oh, take care of your health. Be kind. Bye for now.